We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Bob, as we know, the General Assembly is coming back for a special session on September 19th. Do you expect the legislature to take up a veto override of Governor Raimondo's veto of the Evergreen contract bill?
It is my fervent hope they take up the veto override of what we call the continuing contract bill.
Do you have any indication from House Speaker Mattiello, Senate President Ruggiero, that that is going to happen?
No, it's too early to get the final indications. I'm sure they're talking about the entire agenda. They know how we feel about the issue and our very strong position on it. And we were very, very pleased by the overwhelming vote in both chambers in support of the issue, well beyond what would be needed for a veto override. So we're simply going to ask people to take the vote they've already taken and stay with the position they've already taken as well.
And as we know, the NEA is pulled its support from Governor Raimondo for re-election next year. Do you think that might work to the disadvantage of the union to either oppose Governor Raimondo or to sit out her election rather than supporting her?
Well, politics is a fascinating business, and there's always time to kiss and make up. But things don't look good today. I mean, we would encourage the governor before September 19th to change her position on this issue and find a way to support it. We've explained it in fairly straightforward terms that it's merely the codification of the practice for 42 of the 50 years of collective bargaining, and that good administrators and good school committees and good town councils follow this practice to the current day. You know, the question we'll add to all our questionnaires for local races are, would you ever impose a contract on union members, or would you keep talking to reach a negotiated agreement? And that really separates the type of folks that we're going to support from the types that we aren't going to support. We hope that the governor sees the light. We obviously had spent a lot of time talking about the need for unity in face of what's going on in Washington, and unity would be a better path for everyone to take. But we're prepared to back up our position through the political process, as we've certainly done in the past.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, it's Labor Day weekend when we kind of sit back and both have our barbecues and essay the state of labor. What do you think that the state of organized labor is this Labor Day?
Well, the state of organized labor in Rhode Island is still strong. The AFL in Rhode Island is probably one of the few AFLs in the country growing, partially because the NEA Rhode Island joined the AFL a few years ago. So now we're over 60,000 active members strong in the Rhode Island AFL-CIO, with good relationships with the unions that aren't part of the AFL, and we're 12,000 members strong at the NEA Rhode Island.
But, Bob, I just wonder one thing. Can the labor movement survive where you have a majority of your members are public sector and relying on the taxpayers for their wages and benefits? Isn't there some amount of envy with some of the folks who have been not given the right to unions, who've been battled, who've lost their right to membership, and they have to pay the salaries of public sector workers? Is that a long-term problem?
It's a communication problem in the sense that we pay the salaries of everyone. For here at Rhode Island Public Radio, it's paid through donations of good, hardworking union members and non-union members alike making donations. When I'm buying things, traveling the roads that are built by good private sector union labor here, going into buildings built by my colleagues in the building trades, that's all putting money on. And a lot of times it's tax dollars earned by public sector members that are going into the pot. We have to make sure we continue to be a race to the top in the good way, not that botched education program, and not a race to the bottom. And it is a constant education thing. And Donald Trump appealed to the lesser angels and a lot of folks. And I think in some ways he's become the great poster child of careful what you wish for, you may get it. So we have a lot of work to do. And, the current state of the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be a real challenge for us next year, too. We're going to have to get back out there and do good old-fashioned organizing, even within our own ranks, to keep our numbers high and keep our folks informed and educated about why there really is a difference between having a union and not having a union.
We're talking here with Robert Walsh, Executive Director of the National Education Association Rhode Island Teachers Union. And Bob, I wonder if you expect the General Assembly in its 2018 session to reopen Rhode Island's so-called fair funding formula for funding schools.
I think a lot of the work has been done on the funding formula, but there's always more work to be done as more information comes in.
Would that be opening a Pandora's box to revisit that issue in an election year?
Well, I think it's opening a Pandora's box to revisit the issue dependent on how revenues look. It's not as so much dependent on the election year as what's the overall state of revenues. You know, we're backwards in Rhode Island. You know, we joked in the other segment of this morning's show that there was a time we supported a Republican for governor at NEA, and he found himself in all sorts of trouble later on. But he was a former school committee chair who was a former mayor of one of our communities back in the 80s. And under his leadership, we got education funding from the state to the highest percentage level it ever had been. And we don't put enough state money into public education in general. So it's not just the formula, it's the level. And we need to do more to break the reliance on property taxes to fund education and get more coming from state coffers. And that is going to be a battle. As long as I'm working in this job, we're going to fight. And we fought it for the last 25 years. So
what are some of the things that we could do to help our urban schools besides money? What are some of the other things that the teachers' union would like to see?
It will all come back to things that cost money, but it's not just throwing money into the problem. We know we have a lot of data. We know that pre-K programs work. We know that early intervention works. We know that smaller class sizes, especially from kindergarten to second grade when the kids are still learning to read, work. We know that after robust after-school programs, not just run by the schools, but folks like Hillary Salmon's group and, you know, the Providence After School Alliance and all that work. We know that summer programs so kids don't lose attention work. We know that making sure that a kid can finish school in the district they started. And we know that school breakfast and school lunch programs work because, you know, kids don't learn when they're hungry. And we know that cleaning up these school buildings and make sure that they have heat and the cafeteria works so they can actually have the lunch. We know that lead paint abatement in the urban core works. There's a lot of things we can do, and we talk about it all the time.
Speaking of school buildings, we know that Rhode Island has some massive needs as far as outdated school buildings. How do you think the state should go about financing a comprehensive program to repair or build and or build new schools?
Well, that's an easy one for a good old-fashioned Democrat. You match long-term needs to long-term money, and interest rates are still relatively low. You do what, and kudos to Mayor Alorza, you announce a lot of bonded money, and you start putting money into the schools. The condition of a large school is abysmal. We have a few schools that did not start because they on time already this year because they're having problems, Central Falls High School being one of them. Spend the money, get everything up to speed, and fix it, and create good jobs in the process.
We're almost out of time here, but will we see your teachers' union and its political arm direct any money to supporting Democratic candidates for city and town government in Rhode Island elections next year?
Well, my response to that online was just Macy's tell Gimbals. But yes, we do fully anticipate being involved in local races in many communities. You don't have to look any further than the crazy mischief that's going on in East Greenwich right now to realize that what happens at the local level is going to affect our schools and our towns. And we saw that 8 years ago. You know, the other part of the continuing contract story, after the school committee in East Providence did that and spent $1.5 million of taxpayer dollars on lawyers, they all got thrown out at the polls in the next election, and so did the council. So, yes, I would say so.
We're out of time, so thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And from the National Education Association, Rhode Island, Robert Walsh.
Thanks for having me.